Hour number two, Darren, Donica, Chase on this Thursday morning. ESPN 102.5, The Game. Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe alongside. We're still here in Dallas. We'll be heading out after the show today to head back home. It's been quite an experience, but we're also looking forward to getting back. We haven't been in Nashville in 2020, so we're looking forward to that. John Glennon from The Athletic. He covers a lot of things in our city, including the Titans, and they will be in Foxborough Saturday night, a 7:15 kickoff. They're going to take on the Patriots. John, how you doing? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. I'm doing well. Hope you guys are enjoying Big D.
We are. It's actually been a little bit colder than we thought. Yeah. That's probably the one thing that's jumped out at me is it's been probably, dare I say, cooler than Nashville here when it comes to the weather.
So. In all the years that I went to Dallas covering the Predators, I can never, ever remember it being cold.
Isn't that amazing?
That's a change of pace. Yeah, usually we're battling, 100-degree temperatures whenever we go down to Dallas.
Not the case for sure. So what do you think the Titans are going to be battling on Saturday? You know, everybody's got their opinion of what the Patriots are, so I'll ask you, what do you think, you know, when you look at the Patriots, what do you see?
Well, you know, I think it's really interesting, and it sounds strange to say it, but, you know, I wonder if the Patriots will have a little bit of that chip-on-the-shoulder mentality because, you know, people are almost discounting New England. I mean, maybe discounting is a little bit strong a word, but, you know, they haven't looked particularly good going down the stretch. The offense has certainly faltered. You know, they're dealing with some injuries, too, and they lost just a stunning game to Miami at home, one that they really needed to win last weekend. And it's almost as if, you know, people are dismissing the Patriots right now. So you wonder, you know, there's a lot of Super Bowl experience there, a lot of playoff experience, you know, certainly guys like Brady and Edelman, Belichick, and you wonder if they're kind of saying, okay, you know, we're taking this all in. We're letting people have their say, and we'll see what's really up when we bring a team to town for the playoffs. Because when teams have come to Foxborough over the years and in the postseason, things have generally not gone well for the opponents.
You know, Bill Belichick, one of his strengths is identifying, you know, who is the workhorse, who is somebody who can burn you, who's somebody who can beat you, and just taking them completely out of the game. We watched the Patriots completely shut down that Rams offense last year in the Super Bowl. Their defense has been good this year, but it's been bending a lot here of late. So who do you think all week in the lab, you know, as Bill Belichick is trying to come up with the magic potion to take however you're going to answer this? Ryan Tannehill has certainly been about the big three. Which one do you think he's identifying of the big three, Tannehill, Henry, or Brown, as the guy that he absolutely has to take out of this game?
I would have to think that they're going to look at A.J. Brown because, honestly, you know, it's one thing to say, okay, we're going to take Derrick Henry out of the game, but no one, for the most part, has really been able to do that, no matter how many players they put in the box. Eventually, in almost every game this season, Henry's been able to wear them down and get his yardage. But Brown is definitely, obviously, the cut above all the other Titans wide receivers. Tremendous month, you know, a guy who certainly should be in the running for NFL rookie, offensive rookie of the year. I would think the focus would be on him, especially since the Patriots have, you know, probably the game's best defensive back in Stephon Gilmore. You know, I would not be surprised if there's a ton of focus on shutting him down, you know, making the Titans win in some other way. You know, because Brown has been the most explosive player on the team in terms of big passing yardage. What's interesting maybe is that, you know, a couple weeks ago when the Titans played the Saints, it was a similar situation. The Saints did an excellent job of shutting A.J. Brown down with Marshawn Lattimore. I think he only caught one pass. But, you know, to the Titans' credit, they scored 28 points that game. And they still have other weapons. You know, as you mentioned, certainly Derrick Henry is a huge weapon. But Tannehill has also been throwing pretty well to Jonnu Smith, to Tajay Sharp, to Corey Davis. So it's hardly the, you know, the kind of Titans offense that we have seen in recent years where there's only one weapon.
So with that being said, what do you think is realistic the Titans can put up on the board? They have been You know, it's been refreshing. It's been a while since we really haven't talked about a team that, you know, can they get to 20 points to try to win the game, right? I mean, I felt like we used to have that conversation so much. If they could just get in the 20s, they'll give themselves a good chance. Scoring hasn't been an issue. So what's realistic of what you think the Titans can put up on the board in Foxborough on Saturday night, a number that's realistic and enough to get the job done?
Yeah, as you mentioned, it is fascinating, and I think that is a good word, refreshing to use. You know, this Titans team, since Ryan Tannehill took over, has averaged over 30 points per game.
Wow.
It's crazy because, yeah, it used to be certainly the past several years was, you know, can we make it to 20 and hang on for dear life? And, you know, 24, oh, that's too much to ask for. But, yeah, it's obviously a different situation up in Foxborough. This is the number one rated defense. You know, you can say that, okay, they didn't have the toughest schedule in the world, which is accurate. But this is still a very good defense. I think it's also one of the best red zone defenses, which is going to go against the major strength of the Titans, which is their red zone offense. You're looking at one of the best defensive backs in the game, Stephon Gilmore. And let's face it, it's just tough to win in Foxborough. And it's going to be probably a cold, rainy night, which doesn't add to offensive highlights too often. So all that said, I still think this Titans offense will have the capability of probably putting up 24, 27 points in this game. I mean, that's just what they've shown us over a very long stretch now, and I don't think it's going to change that much. And you know, as weird as it sounds, I think the Titans may have too much firepower for the New England Patriots. You know, if they score 27 points, I think there's a good chance that they win this game.
We're talking to John Glennon of The Athletic here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. And I look at the defense, and I'll start with the Titans. Adoree Jackson appears to he's on the injury report still, but he's been practicing. He's been a full participant the last 2 days. We'll see about today. Is there a good chance that he's back in the lineup finally?
I think there is. You know, I think it's going to happen when he's gone full the past 2 days, and we'll see here in another few minutes how much work he gets in practice today. But you know, it was interesting when Mike Vrabel talked about Adoree maybe coming back a little bit earlier in the season. He said, you know, maybe he's a kind of a third down specialist or along those lines. So, you know, maybe Adoree doesn't get the full role that he might have played earlier in the season before their injury. But nonetheless, you know, I think that's a big difference. You know, and when you can line up with Adoree Jackson and Tremaine Brock on the outside, you know, for the most part, and then have Logan Ryan on Julian Edelman in the slot, I think that really benefits the Titans. Certainly Logan Ryan knows a lot about Julian Edelman from their years together in New England, and they had a fierce practice rivalry over those years as well. So I think that's a big boost for the Titans, who have been without two of their top three cornerbacks really for for at least the past month or so. A nice change to go against Tom Brady.
John, we talked so much earlier in the season, and you guys were talking about the offense and how they're able to put up so many points, but you know, the defense was able to hold teams to 20 or less for the first half of the season, and then you know, injuries started to pile up, and now you're seeing some lapses on defense and more points being given up. Because of the struggles that the Patriots offense have had as of late, I feel like this is a good opportunity for the Titans defense to correct some things.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think this is a good matchup for the Titans in that a lot of their weaknesses, Titans weaknesses, are not necessarily strengths for the Patriots. You know, the Titans have struggled, as we talked about in past D. Well, the Patriots, odd as it sounds, with Tom Brady, have not been, you know, a great passing, a great offensive team. Titans have struggled in the red zone. Again, this may be an opportunity to improve there, because Patriots have not been a scoring machine, especially about the last month or so. So, you know, I think, you know, and this point has been raised probably several times, but I think the Titans really benefited in this matchup as opposed to going up against the Kansas City Chiefs. Sure, that the Titans have beaten the Chiefs, you know, three times, including this year. But, you know, how many times in a row can you do that against a very, very high-powered offense and a very talented skill group? Whereas here, you've got a Titans offense that's putting up points, maybe too much for this Patriots team to keep up with.
Are you concerned at all about the kicking game? We haven't seen Greg Joseph attempt a field goal yet. He's made all the extra points, but he hasn't been put in a high-pressure situation like he would be in Foxborough Saturday night. Is that concerning to you?
I think it has to be. Certainly the Titans like Greg Joseph, or else they wouldn't have signed him. But let's be honest here. This guy hasn't had a field goal attempt in a game since 2018. And part of that, the last two games that he's been on the roster, the Titans have simply been too good at scoring touchdowns. They scored 9 touchdowns, and they haven't needed a field goal in the last two games, which is great, except for the fact that maybe you'd like to trot him out there at least once or twice for a field goal attempt just to run through the process. So, yeah, certainly, I would doubt that the Titans would want to see this come down to a potential game-winning kick and Greg Joseph maybe kicking for the first time in a Titans uniform. His percentage was good in Cleveland in 2018, but it's been a while, and nobody knows really what to expect. And let's be honest, too, there's been a bit of a curse on the Titans kickers, it would seem, this year. So there's that to overcome as well.
When you look at the NFL playoffs, you see quarterbacks like Drew Brees, Russell Wilson, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson, Jimmy Garoppolo, and of all the quarterbacks in the playoffs, you know, has the highest passer rating? Huh. Ryan Tannehill. Pretty amazing. I mean, it really is.
It absolutely is. I mean, I was just looking at this again a little bit earlier today, and Tannehill's quarterback rating of, just over 117 right now is 30 points higher than what his average was over 6 years in Miami.
Wow.
30 points. That's insane. And you look at his, on the other hand, it's not like he's dinking and dunking either.
Right.
I think his yards per attempt is 9.6, which is the top of the league. And again, when you go back and you compare that to Miami, 7.2 over 6 years in Miami. But just a huge, huge change for Ryan Tannehill, a guy who absolutely hit the ground running and really seems to be a great fit for this system.
No doubt about it. Appreciate the visit, John. Should be a lot of fun on Saturday night. We'll wait and see. Thanks for doing this.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, guys.
John Glennon covers a lot of teams, Titans, Predators. He does it all for The Athletic, and certainly he'll be covering the Titans and the Patriots Saturday night, 7:15 kickoff. We'll come back and talk a little bit more about that matchup. Also, we'll hear from Rashawn Evans, Titans linebacker, this hour as well. But right now, I want to talk to you about USS, United Structural Systems. It's a foundation repair and waterproofing company that has served Middle Tennessee, our area, since 1994. And they've got more than 18,000 satisfied customers. Yeah, residential customers, over 18,000. And I want to talk about foundation repair because they do so many things, but foundation repair in particular. If you've got bricks that are cracking, you've got walls that are bowing, doors or windows that are sticking, drywall that's separating, you've got maybe stair step cracks in the masonry or mortar joints, chimneys tilting or leaning, look, these are all signs that your house may be trying to tell you something. It's not something you should probably just keep walking by and not address. And that's where they come into play because they're going to help you. Look, they're the experts. They're about quality. They're about reputation. And they have the expertise to come to your house and tell you what needs to be done. And they've got integrity. Those are all things that are very important to USS. They've got free estimates. They're locally owned and licensed and insured. These are all things you as a homeowner need to know. And it's very important, especially when you're calling them. They guarantee their best. That's what they say. Call USS. The number, 615-227-2275, 615-227-2275, or you can check out everything you need to know about them by looking at their website, usstn.com.